basically within Hinayana, which is the beginning scope, there are four types of vowels that we can take. And the purpose we take the vowels is to give us more time to practice, to gain attainment, and to focus. So when we take vowels, people who think negatively think that it's a restriction. Actually, it is not a restriction. People who take vowels and they understand the power of the vowels and the benefit of the vowels, they will not see it as a restriction. They see it as a natural flow of the development of spirituality. So therefore, within the vowels, we have the first set of vowels, which is what we call upasaka or upasika for females. Upasaka is male, upasika is for females. And those are the layman's vowels. They consist of five main vowels: not killing, not stealing, not lying, no sexual misconduct, and no taking of any type of intoxicants, cigarettes, beer, alcohol, none. And people who are holding these vows, we should not smoke, take intoxicants, and be near them, or even be in their presence, because it is very detrimental to us, because we are damaging ourselves by being disrespectful to the vows. So if we live with or near a vow holder, we don't smoke, we don't drink, and definitely we don't get drunk or high and go near them and say things and talk and disturb them. It's very, very bad. Hence, in a monastery, in a retreat center, we try to do our best not to smoke in a public area, but go somewhere quiet if we have to, because laymen do come. And we definitely don't drink. Why? It is disrespectful to the vows. When you're disrespectful to the vows, you create the karma, you're unable to be ethical. You're unable to hold ethics. And the inability to hold ethics is what creates your frustration and your unhappiness and your anger. So therefore, around people who have the vows, these four vows, we should not smoke, we should not drink, and we should never be near them if we are smoking, drinking, or the result is we are feeling drunk or high. We should not. It is very, very heavy karma, very negative karma. So we must understand that. And the abode where these people reside, we must make an effort to keep it clean, keep it orderly, keep it neat. So if you have a vow holder in your house, you are a vow holder in the center, you have a vow holder near you, the center, the house, the environment must be clean, must be neat. Everything must be put away. You should not enforce or force your layman's values on a vow holder. Hence, when a vow holder comes to the center, the reception, the back, the front, the temple, everything must be perfectly clean. Everything must be perfectly in order. Why? Because it creates the karma for you to receive vows in the future and hold it. Why is that? Because you're creating a clean environment for the vow holder or the vows to be, to make offerings to. Therefore, a lama's lajang, a dharma center, a temple, a meditation center, the students or the other people must keep it very clean, orderly, and very neat, and everything must be placed well. And you don't give excuses such as, this is my place, so I can keep it the way I want. That space may be lent to you, but the whole residence belongs to a vow holder. So to keep the place clean and in order for the vow holder to reside shows your deep respect for the vows. Whether you respect the person or not does not matter. So if the person does things that you don't feel is good, but that doesn't mean they're breaking their vows. And if they have broke one or two vows, it doesn't mean they have broke all their vows. So a vow holder's residence, a vow holder's place must be clean and in order and neat to show respect for the vows. Hence, it is a great honor to clean places where vow holders reside. It is a great honor to make offerings to vow holders. It is a great honor to keep everything neat and tidy and orderly. Why is it a great honor? Because it trains us to be more aware of others' needs. How does that train us? The vows of that holder, the vow, makes us become more aware. When a vow holder comes to your place and says, that's messy, that's not clean, that's not good, straighten this out, clean this out, it shows great disrespect. It shows great disrespect. Why?
it shows you have no reference for Sangha, or those to be Sangha, or the vowels of a Sangha. It has no respect. So you may say that's not a big deal. Yes, if you say that's not a big deal, and this is not a big deal, this is not a big deal, pretty soon later, you don't respect Sangha at all. And then if you don't respect Sangha, those are the ones carrying forth the Dharma. Those are the ones 24 hours in a monastery studying, meditating, and practicing to teach you Dharma. So if you don't respect the Sangha, you don't respect the Dharma. If you don't respect the Dharma, how can your Dharma grow? How have you have taken refuge? Therefore, keeping things clean is connected directly to refuge. Directly. Neat and clean. So therefore, even if we have a vow holder, if they're going to use our toilet, and it's only one, we should go in there and spray it and sprinkle it and make it clean and fresh so the vow holder may use it so that your remains does not become unpleasant for the vow holder. What is that? That is not the vow holder will become angry or leave. It is showing respect and creating awareness, creating greater awareness. Okay? So therefore, the first set of vows is a layman's vows. Based on the layman's vow, layman, laywoman, same. Based on the upasaka vows, the genyen vows in Tibetan, based on the upasaka vows, then we are able to take the rabjung vows. The rabjungpa vows is the vows of leaving the householder's life, leaving the lay life. So when you take on your rabjungpa vows, you will remove your white clothing. You will replace it with the maroon and yellow clothing. We receive a seat for the Sangha that's called a dingwa. And we receive a shamdap, the lower skirt of a monk or nun. I'm just going to say monk, it includes nun also. We receive a chuga, a dharma robe. We also receive chaza, a strainer for tea. We also receive a dunka, the upper cloth. We also receive a water jug, which can be borrowed. We also change our name, cut our hair except a couple of strands, and we also receive the monk bowl. So the first stage of upasaka vows, you may or may not, up to you, you wear white clothes. Your hair is partially cut. It is a sign to everyone you are on the path to sanghahood and your training. Why that procedure? I will explain in a few minutes. After you do the rabjungpa vows, you will take the novice vows. The novice vows are 36 in number. When you take the upasaka vows, it is because you have realized all that you have done in your life and all that you will do brings no benefit. So you wish to hold the vows. You wish to collect merit. You wish to change your habituations. After you have held on to the upasaka vows for a few months, a few years, depends on your age and situation, then you wish to really leave the householder's life. You don't want to be a wife, a husband. You don't want to be an ordinary person, just eating, sleeping, and drinking. You actually want to transform your body, speech, and mind. You want to transform the spectrum of your projections and thinking. You take on the rabjungpa vows. After you take on the rabjungpa vows, then you think, this is not enough. This is not enough. I wish to attain liberation. I wish to leave samsara. Then you take on the novice vows. The novice vows are 16. After you have received the novice vows, you can immediately take the full bhikshu or bhikshuni vows, or you may wait. Why? The bhikshuni and bhikshu vows are basically 253 and 56 respectively. So when you take on 253, it's much more than 36. When you take on 36, it's much more than 10. When you take on 10, it's much more than 5. It's a gradual process so that you can wean yourself out of samsara thinking and habituations and enter the Sangha. Some people are exceptions. Some people are born to be monks and nuns. So they take these vows all at once. It's not a problem. Not a problem at all. So therefore, the first set of vows is upasaka. That is when you take on the 5 vows of a layman: killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, and taking intoxicants. The vows for taking the layman's vows is reciting the refuge formula in front of the vow master. You are taking those vows. After you have taken those vows, you can wear white, your hair is cut, you're part lay person, you're part sangha. You're not sangha yet, but you're also not lay person completely. After you have done that and you have gotten used to your vows and you understand and the vows bless you, you go for step two. Then you have to go to the monastery in front of the abbot and a group of senior monks who have had their vows for more than 10 years. Before that, they cannot give vows. You will take the Rabjumba vows. You will take the Rabjumba vows. Those vows are leaving the householder's life. That is actually when you remove your white clothes. You cut off the remaining part of your hair. And you change your name. You change your identity. You're reborn. And you get a begging bowl. You get a strainer. You get a dingwa. This is a dingwa. Every monk and nun must have this wherever they go. And this must be placed on their seat where they sit. The reason is this. For the lay people to respect the Sangha, for the Sangha to respect property. So in the monastery, when we go for pujas, we have to put this, we have to carry this and put this on our seat. Yeah. We have to put this on our seat and sit on it in case we spill tea or in case we spill saliva and we damage the Sangha's collective property. We can't do that. So we have to take this. So if we go to a lay person's house or we give a Dharma teaching, we put this on because many things have happened on that cushion that may not be proper. So you put this on for the monk to sit, the nun to sit, so they know that there's a separation. So this is called a dingwa. It's very necessary. So the Rabjumba will get a dingwa. The Rabjumba will get a zen, like this one, or get a chugu. This is called a Dharma robe. They will get an upper robe and a lower robe to remind them of their vows and to remind people around them of their vows. So the people around them should be respectful to their vows, and the vow holders should not have arrogance and pride and say, I have vows, you have to respect me, you have to put me in the front, you have to take care of me. Because when a vow holder thinks like that, they break their vows. You see, vow holders are not above the law. Karma is for everybody. So the reason you get a tea strainer, chaza, is a symbolism of not hurting sentient beings. So that when you drink tea, insects do not go in and get killed. Okay? Then on top of that, you will get a new name. The new name symbolizes your new identity. So the vow holder's name will be given to you. I received my vows from His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, whose name is Tenzin Gyatso. Hence my Rabjumba and Getsu vows, my name is Tenzin Sopa. So my full name is Tem Kentru Tenzin Sopa Yönden Gyatso. So my second set of name, Yönden Gyatso, is given to me when I was recognized as a reincarnation by the abbot of Gandin. So my actual monk name is Tenzin Sopa. Tenzin is holding the Dharma. Sopa is with great patience. So it's holding the Dharma with great patience. And now I know why. That's my name. So if I was to give the vows, the person receiving the vows from me would be called Ani Tenzin or Getsu Tenzin and then something else attached. Okay? Today I will not be changing Mama Jenny's name, but we will just be calling her Ani La. Ani is nun, La is venerable nun or respectfully nun. Just like when you call an elder person auntie and uncle, it's respectful. So therefore, once she goes to the monastery and she receives her Rabjumpa and Getsu vows, then she will get a new name. From henceforth, we have to call her by her new name. We don't run around calling her Mama Jenny. We have to call her Anila Jampa, Anila Tenzin. Whoever is giving her the vows, I will let you know. She doesn't need to change that on her IC. Because the IC is just a piece of paper. That's Malaysian government policy, and we must follow it. But by respect, we must call her Anila, whatever. So after she has worn the white clothes, you will call her Anila. If you catch yourself calling her Mama Jenny, you give me $10. Okay? So, you'll get the clothes of ordination in Rabjumba, and your white clothes will be removed. The white clothes will be removed in Ganden, not here. Until she goes to Ganden, she will wear white clothes every single day. She will carry a nice white bag. And she will put her wallet in it. Mama Jenny asked me 2 weeks ago, when I become a nun, can I still carry my leather purse and my new leather wallet? I said, you can carry the wallet since you already have it, not the purse. Where got nun running around with a Gucci bag? Where got? Cannot. So therefore, Upasaka vows is what I'm going to be giving today. Upasaka vows, she's taking on the layman's vows. It's very simple and very easy. And then she will wear her white clothes from henceforth and keep her hair at the length she has now. And then we'll wait a few months, let her get used to it. No more Jalan Alor. And she will be escorted to Ganden Monastery to meet the great masters, to receive their Rabjumba vows from the great masters. And once she received the Rabjumba vows, the white clothes is removed, because white represents lay people. The white clothes is removed, and her hair is cut. She receives the monk bowl. She receives the monk seat. She receives the monk clothes, the monk robe, and she will be wearing that. For special occasions, for special puja, she will be wearing the yellow. For ordinary occasions, it will be the red. And more important than the outer change, the inner change is more important. Nuns and monks do not gossip anymore, create schism, or criticize. So no matter what the other person is doing, we cannot criticize anymore. Cannot. I'll be more extensive on the vows next time. Before she goes to India, before Mama Jenny goes to India, I'll go over the vows with her, with all of you present. Why? Actually, you're not supposed to listen to the vows because you're not a vow holder or will be one. But I will let you hear it so you understand and plant seeds. Okay?